We are on 118, New Testament base.
Are we on Halacha?
Dentation Shorim Yemechot. A boy who's 9 years old and one day, Shabal Yibimto, has relations with the woman who is his deceased wife's brother, deceased brother's wife. And then his other brother, his second brother, is also 9 years old. I guess like twin brothers, or they're both, they're between 9 and 13, both of them. So two brothers of this sort in a row. So So each brother renders the other unfit. In other words, neither of them can be miyabim her. Because each one's like a partial and not full acquisition, so therefore each one ruins the other, neither of them gets the keeper. Okay? Of course, what? Neither of them, right. They both have duchalitza. When they grow up, because they're in duchalitza when you're a minor, it seems. Rav Shimon Omer lo pasal. Rav Shimon says, not true. They don't read the second one, does not render the first one unfit. The reason for that is Rabbi Shimon holds very similar to what he holds by Mimer, just like he holds by Mimer. Either is Kona, either acquires altogether, doesn't do a thing at all. So to the relations of a boy who's under 9 years old, either does everything or nothing at all. So if it does everything, so the first one is complete, right? If it does nothing, then neither does the second one. So therefore, the second one doesn't render unfit. So therefore, by definition, the first one gets to keep her, no matter what. Okay? Ben Tesh Rishonim Yomechot Shabal Yivimto. Similarly, a boy who's 9 days and one, 9 years and one day old, who has relations with his Yavama, and then has relations with her co-wife, which of course is forbidden, right? He forbade for himself, again for the same reason, right? Because he acquires each one partially and neither fully, and therefore he comes into the conundrum of the paradox of being doing quasi acquisition of two different co-wives, and that of course he cannot do, so he has to do chalitza to both, or chalitza or not chalitza, or well, chalitza and get chalitza to one and get to both. Okay, chalitza to one and get to one. Rabbi Shimon Omer lo pasal, again for the same reason, it's not possible, because he holds that the first acquisition was either complete or nothing at all, and if it was first acquisition was complete, the second one was just enough, is the nothing. As if the first one is nothing, then the second one is also nothing. So in any event, they're still both available to him. The first one is still available to him, and he can continue with it. Benteshu Shani V'yayimachot, a boy who's 9 years and one day old, Shabbo Yivimto has relations with his Yivama, Umeis, and then he dies. Choletzes Lo Misabem, she's still not scot-free, because we don't know if these relations are fully relations. So therefore, she has to get from one of the other surviving brothers still Chalitza. On the other hand, she can't have Yivum, because the 9-year-old's relations with her were already a quasi Yibum, and may have rendered her no longer susceptible to Yibum. If a kid's hurt, it's a mess. Okay? Nosa Isho Mace, if a boy who's 9 years old married a woman and then he died. So raise up to her, she doesn't need anything, right? Because she wasn't a full marriage. You can't contract a marriage when you're 9 years old. Yibum perhaps, but not a marriage. If you have this boy who's 9 years old that has relations with the Yavama, then when he grows up, Nasa Isha Cheres, he marries another woman besides her. If he had no relations with the first wife when he became an adult, and then he dies, Hashnia, the second wife, Ocho Letzis Omisyavemes, the second wife can either get Chalitza or even, or Yibum, right? Either one. For Ishan, however, the first one, Ocho Letzis Omisyavemes, she has to get Chalitza, and she may not get Yibum. Why may she not get Yibum? Because they don't know if she was ever fully a wife. Rav Shimon Omer, Miyavin, Lezishirza, she can do yibum to, he can do anybody who wants to can do yibum to either one of these two wives. It doesn't matter. The other one gets chalitza. So it's one yibum, one chalitza. Because again, Rabbi Shimon holds that it's possible that the kinyan of a 9-year-old is a kinyan. We don't know if it is risen, but if it is, it is complete. If it's nothing, it's nothing. So in any event, so we can do yibum to each one of them, and do chalitz on the other one, and that suffices. This is true about a child who's 9 years old. It's also true about an adult who's 20, but it doesn't yet have two hairs, which are the indication of physical maturity. Okay? Now, Shmuel Amar, Shmuel said, Divrei Meir, Kwanrei Meir, also be aspentatio shani v'yom echo kimaimar begadol. Rabbi Meir says that the relations of a 9-year-old is considered to be like the mimer, like the verbal acquisition of Yavama by a adult. Ukumad at Omar also be aspentatio shani v'yom echo. This is like you say that the relations of a 9-year-old are k'maimer begadol, like the mimer of an adult. The kavasa, let's say, well, actually, Rameir says kavasa nases chalitza spentesha shanim ve'mechot. The chalitza also done by a 9-year-old is k'get begadol, like the get done by an adult, which is a shocking concept because chalitza would seem requires some actual das. And Rabbanan argue. Rabbanan, I mean, they said, Ein chalitza spentation shani v'yemechot klub. The chalitza performed by a 9-year-old is garnished. It's nothing. V'lama su b'yas spentation shani v'yemechot k'mayim rabagadol. So why, take, did they say that the relations which are conducted by a 9-year-old is like mimer by an adult? After all, it would seem that you need to have some sort of das. Says, no, you don't need to have das. Shekem b'ya b'gadol koina. Just like the bia, the relations of an adult, kaina acquire yivama, bein ladas, ben shaladas, whether they're intended or not to do so. So too, the thing that's true about the bia of a child. However, nase chalitza, ben teisha, shani v'yomechot, kiget begadol. What do you want to do? Make the chalitza of a 9-year-old like a get by an adult? That can't you do. The chalitza begadol ain't a potential das, because chalitza by an adult only exempts if it was done intentionally. So therefore, the bottom line is that we can possibly call the bia of a 9-year-old something significant because we find the bia of Yavama does not require das. But we cannot call the chalitza of a 9-year-old something significant, because chalitza, it seems to us pretty clear that it should require das. Okay? Says the Gemara further. Elish omeris yavim shenofen ekami yavim. What if you have a case where a woman falls in front of several yavim? In other words, she is susceptible to a couple of people who are possibly candidates to be her yavim, right? So in that case, Hashem ena misyabemes, does she not get yibum? So therefore, why in this case where you have a case over here? The Rabbanan said in the Mishnah, if you look back in the Mishnah, that if you have a case where you have a woman who was married to one brother. That brother died. Okay? Now, a 9-year-old brother, a minor brother, had relations with that woman. Then the 9-year-old died. So we say she cannot go and marry a third brother, even the third brother is an adult. Why not? Right? Why can't we say that just like any other girl who was married first to one of the brothers, that brother died, then Yibum was done with another brother, that brother died, she goes to a third brother. So too, just because the middle brother is a minor, why is that a problem?
Well, it's a question of, did the first Zikah get broken by the
nine? Oh, so that's the Gemara's answer.
The second Zikah.
So that's the Gemara's saying. Yeah, so says the Gemara, This is actually, as you remind us, a sugi we had way back when in the third parak on Yud Tes, some 40 blot ago, where it said that if you have a case where a woman has two zikos on her, because the first zikah was never exempted by the second Yibum, because it was only a mimer which took place, or something like that, or a get, or something. So then, in fact, she can't be misyabemes to the third brother. That's what you're referring to, right? There, where it's allowed, is where the first Yibum is full, and then that erases the original relationship. And now, since there's only one relationship at a time, so then when the second brother dies, the third brother can be miyabe. However, if the second brother's Yibum was not a full Yibum because he was only a child, or only did Mimer, or something like that, so then the first Zika never fell off, and therefore doesn't go to the third brother, because Eishes HaMeis, one Meis below Eishes Shnei Meisim. And that's the Gemara's answer here, right? So that's the Gemara says, Tanya Rabbi Chiya, Eishes Meis, Eich Misabem, Slo Eishes Shnei Meisim. Okay? Now, this sugi is actually the parallel before on Daf Chafal from the base, way back when. And there, the next line, there's another line here which is missing. And this line, it doesn't pertain to the sugi over here, but it pertains to the sugi over there, and is an important line. And line it says there is Nicha Chaylet Lebalas HaMaimar. I understand that the case there is substitute a minor in the second marriage, and you have an adult doing mimer in the second marriage, right? Am I making myself clear? It was brother number one who married, he died. Brother number two does mimer, he dies. Brother number three cannot do yibum, right? So it says, Gemara, why can't... So Nicha Choylet, the Gemara says over there, not over here. Nicha Choylet is about some mimer. I understand that the woman who underwent mimer, she only has to go get chalitza al shame because Eishes Meis Echa Misabemes below Eishes Shnei Meisim, right? Because that's been the wife of one the Meis and not two Meisim, right? But let's say there's a co-wife. The Gemara goes so far as to say that if the second brother, the one who did the evil, left a co-wife, she too can't be Misabemes by the third brother. Even though she wasn't ever by the first brother, she just started out by the second brother. So Shneel Lama is Yabemis. That's the words asked top of Samach Mav. Why does the second one have to do Yibum? So Rebbe Lezer said, "Rebbe Meir, because this is going like Rebbe Meir." Don't Rebbe Meir. Meir said, "Kol she'enam liyabeni, anytime you can't do Yibum with me, em liyabim tzoroso, you can't do Yibum on my co-wife." Now, even though really there it's all the Rabbanans and there's no necessary reason to make the co-wife usher because it's not a co-wife of an Erev or anything like that. Nevertheless, Rabbanan also said that anytime you have a problem with one of the wives, the other wife can't undergo you either Rabbanan, and that's why she needs a chalitza. So it says, Mar Rabbi Yochan said, Mini Shomer Rabbi Lezer Vamara. Rabbi Lezer heard the statement from me and said it over my name, and said it over without quoting it by my name. But I'm the one who taught him this halacha. Rabbi Yisrael said, not true. Masnisa Amrakein, our Mishnah, the one here on the afternoon test on base, teaches us this halacha. Where do we see that? It says, Ventation Shani Vyoimechon, if you have a boy who's 9 years old, Shabal Yivinta has relations with his Yavama, Mishahidil Nasa Ishakas, when he grows up, he marries another woman. Imloya Darishon, if he did not have relations with the first one, the Yavama, which he had relations with when she was under when he was 9 years old. Doesn't have relations with the first one after he becomes an adult. Hashnia, the second wife, which is the valid wife with whom he contracted marriage after he became an adult, Ocholetis or Misabemish, can either get Chalitz or Ibum. Harishaina, the one who comes here into the picture because he had relations with her when he was still a minor. Choletes lo misyabemes. She can be with her. She with him. If the 9-year-old now turned adult dies, so his brother can only do chalitza, not yibum, because we don't know again whether this is really eishes meis echad or eishes shnei meisim, because his deceased middle brother only did. Yibum when he was a minor, not when he was an adult, right? So it says, well, it's a kasha, right? Because here it says, Hachid Marcholetes, in the case over here of, Hachid Marcholetes, in the case over there of where there was an adult, then three adults. One adult brother who married. Second adult brother who did mimer. Third adult brother who comes afterwards. So there it says you can do yibum. It says you can do yibum. It says you have to do chalitza. Sorry, v'acha. But here you say both on the you have to do chalitza on both wives. Well, I'm not sure I'm making myself clear. Can I write on this paper?
Sure.
You have
that one
on Christie's.
Oh, this
one.
Yeah.
Huh? It's made for who knows if the entire purpose for this magazine was only for this one time when we're going to write something on it. Okay, we have. Okay, we have Reuven. I'm going to try and write it upside down, but it's probably not going to work. Reuven was married to Sarah.
Okay.
Can you read that? Reuven's married to Sarah, right? He was an adult, okay? He was an adult. Okay? He dies. Then Sarah gets from Shimon. Sarah goes from Reuven, who dies, to Shimon. Here's Sarah over here. Sarah. No, not going to be the other case. The case of the other parent. Mm-hmm. To Shimon. I can't do it upside down. It's not possible.
Doing BC.
That's okay. That's more fun for me. So it goes Shimon, who does in her only a mimer.
Okay,
does only a mimer. Okay, now Shimon has another wife who will call Leah. Well, you can't do Lamed upside down either. So let's call her Rivka. Okay, so three has Rivka. And then Shimon dies, right? So now, Yehuda. No, upside down Lamed. Now, Yehuda, what can he do? So Yehuda, the Gemara said there, he has to chalitza on, he can't marry either of them, right? He has to chalitza on Rivka, and he has to chalitza on Sarah. The reason why he has to chalitza on Sarah is because we don't know if Sarah ever got, the reason why he has to chalitza, because we don't know if Sarah ever was fully married to Shimon, because all she had was Mimer, right? And Rivka also he can't take, because Rivka is a tzara of a woman who's questionable, right? Meir says a woman who's questionable, you can't take her tzara either, right? Now our case is a similar case, except that in our case I say that Shimon didn't do mimer, but rather Shimon here, according to our Gemara, is a
minor,
right? So he's a katan, right? So if Shimon is a mimer, if Shimon is a katan, so then it should be the same halacha, because mimer or katan should be tantamount that they have a deficit attached to them. But the Gemara over here says not like that. The Gemara says here that in this case, if you have such a case, it says that she's allowed to do yibum. The Gemara says allowed to do yibum. The Mishnah said he's allowed to do yibum at least on the second one. Do we quote the Mishnah here? Yeah, here. See, look, it says here, Benteja Shoyim V'yemechot, Shabai Vinto Mishitil Nasa Isha Acheres, if he didn't have relations with Sarah once he became an adult, only with Rivka, he has to chalitza on Sarah, but on Rivka he can do yibum if he wants. So it's a contradiction. Over there where Shimon did a mimer and was an adult, so he's got to do chalitza on both. Over here where Shimon was a katan vis-a-vis Sarah, so then I say that he's allowed to do even on Rivka, only on Sarah he has to do chalitza. So why the difference vis-a-vis Rivka? Then one case Rivka has to get chalitza, according in the previous case, 40 blad ago, and here the Rivka only has is the option to do ibum.
Even more so, it's a contradiction what we learned before about Yib on a nine year old is equivalent to mimer to an adult. So here you have the same scenario. You have
Right. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
That's part of the contradiction. No, I agree. So says more, as the Gemara says, a very simple answer. Again, Hochem Marcholet is there. 40 blad ago, it said just Chalit. So Hochem Marcholet means it's there. It's here to give the option of evil. Says more, Hain the time Marcholet says, he was the one case where it's 40 blad ago, it says you have to do Chalit because Shimon was an adult who did Mimer. That's going like Rabbi Meir for Rabbi Shimon. That's going like Rabbi Meir who argues for Rabbi Shimon, who says that anytime any co-wife is usher, by definition, the other co-wife is also. Not because inherently she's also, but because of the Rabbanim principle, anytime one co-wife is also, the other co-wife is also. That's going like Meir, who argues from Shimon. The Hain the Tamer in our case, it says, Misya Bemet, where it says that the co-wife of Rivka, of Sora, the questionable one, can be Misya Bemet, that's going like Rabbi Shimon Rabbanon is going like the Rabbanon who argue in Rabbi Shimon. And the Rabbanon who argue in Rabbi Shimon hold that Mimer is a quasi-Kenyan. But B.S. Bentes... What does B.S. Bentes do in Rabbanon? I forgot. One second. No, I'm sorry. They hold that you, they don't hold Remeir, they argue with Remeir in this principle. Remeir holds that anytime one co-wife is usher, the other co-wife is usher. Rabbanon argue, they so it's possible for one co-wife to be usher and the other co-wife to be mutter. That's all they argue about. In other words, automatically meet Rabbanon, wherever one co-wife is usher, even if it's a questionable co-wife, such as over here, we don't even know if Sarah is properly married to Shimon, right? So then do I say that the other co-wife Rivka is also as well, or do I say that no, I only ask for the co-wife in question, and therefore the other co-wife is permitted to be Misa Bemes, and in fact Yuda can take her, and that's Rabbanon's sheet over here. So where it says both co-wives are also, that's Rabbi Meir, where it says one co-wife is Mutsu, one co-wife is also, that's going like Rabbanon will argue with Meir and say that we can divide between the two. So Rabbi Meir basically regards every Torah as if it's a Torah Serva. Just like the Torah Serva, you can't marry either of them. So too, even if the Torah is a relatively minor issue of the co-wife of a question of a woman who didn't have a full Yibum, but only a partial one, because it's either Maimor or Bias Katan. So in that case, Rameir says it's still like Torah Serva, and they're both forbidden. And Rabban holds not like Torah Serva because it's far lower down on the totem pole, and therefore the co-wife is Muteris Lisyami.
Rabbi Shimon
actually doesn't come into the picture. That's the Ridbaz points out. The commentator really points out the Ridbaz points out further. Rabbi Shimon, the throwing in Rabbi Shimon here is utterly confusing. Because
yeah.
Rabbi Shimon has nothing to do with it. What it means is the Rabbi Meir who argues Rabbi Shimon in some other aspect here, and Rabbanan argues Rabbi Shimon in some other aspect there. But it's nothing to do with Rabbi Shimon itself. Right, Rabbi Shimon is totally irrelevant to this discussion.
Doesn't Rav Shimon have a special feeling, but that's not relevant.
It's not relevant to this discussion. That's Ribaz's point. His special feeling that it's either koino altogether or not koino at all, and also by B.S. Bentesha, it's either koino altogether or not koino at all. It's not relevant. Okay, so it's just but neither the Kormeid nor Ribaz is relevant. I'm sure you could make it relevant, but we're not going to bother. Pshita, now from here to the end of the paragraph, we have a lot of girsa changes. Pshita adam milsa. This is simple. Although it's simple to the Yerushalmi, the Bavli will argue. Pachmi ben esrim shah besrim. I'm sorry. A boy is less than 20. Shavish de saris, who gets two hairs. So here we have to switch around the line, the next line and this line. It should be mikan vehelach unasa ish, hu ish. Whenever he gets two heirs, that's when he becomes an adult, according to Torah law. The Yosemite asked him, Shavish Nesaris, now what if he's more than 20 when he gets two heirs, and we're switching around again? She becomes an adult retroactively. Now, there's something missing here, which all the unfortunate point out, or not all of them, but quite a few of them. They say, The case in which a guy who gets two hairs after he's 20, right, becomes an adult retroactively is only if there was a reason to believe when he was a minor under 20 that he was a sris, he was a eunuch. So then I say he was a eunuch retroactively. A eunuch is an adult, though, right? So when he's in a eunuch retroactively from his bar mitzvah, even though he only got two hairs later on. And actually, when he gets the two hairs, it's actually a sign that he wasn't really a eunuch. Because I think the two hairs only come in a guy who's not eunuchized. Or there's not a situation of eunuch. But once he gets those two hairs, they say retroactively he was an adult from the time of his bar mitzvah. And all that time he was a eunuch, and now he got healed from Kadosh Baruch Hu Rachmanis on him, and now he's ois eunuch. But in any event, the Bavli doesn't hold the way. The Bavli holds that whenever he gets, until he has simanim, he's a sris. Until there's clear cut evidence that he is a eunuch, he's not a eunuch, until he's 35 years old. He's 35 years old, and he hasn't gotten evidence, so we say he's got to be a eunuch. But until then, he's not considered to be a eunuch retroactively, certainly, only whenever he gets to see money. But here it says he's considered a eunuch retroactively, okay? It is prayer, but it's not halachic prayer, it's Metzia's prayer, right? It's trying to clarify the fact, not the halachos, so that's okay. So it says, Marmapli ben Isra, the shayla is when the guy is exactly 20, and then he gets two hairs. Shmuel Amar Marfeo Nasi, Shmikael comes an adult retroactively. Rabba Marmikam Velechuish, from here on he is a man and not retroactively. Now Masnisa Pliga Ben Aldein Ben Aldein. The following Bryce seems to argue on both of them. What's the Bryce? A very cool Bryce. I don't remember this from the Bavli. So we'll just assume it's not in the Bavli since I don't remember it. And I don't, all 2,711 blot of the Bavli, I don't remember it. So what does it say? Says this Bryce, Hasris Eino Nase Ben Soru More. A Sris, a eunuch, does not become a Ben Soru More. Remember such a thing?
Sounds familiar.
Because he needs to have, in order to become Ben Soru More, you have to be able to have hair in the pubic area. And he don't got no hair, right? Now, that's the Bryce. The Gemara asks a question like this. V'yatirbo, on the contrary, when a kid is at the age to become a Ben Soru More, which is from 13 and, I think it's from 13 and a quarter to 13 and a half. It's either from 13 to 13 and a quarter, or it's from 13 and a quarter to 13 and a half. I think it must be 13 to 13 and a quarter. So the time he gets two hairs until the entire pubic area is filled with hair. So that time is the only time in his loophole he can become Ben Soru More. He can't become a Ben Soru More at any other period of his life, right? So if he's a Sris, so the Gemara says, well, he has no hair, so he's going to be a Ben Soru More. But the question that Bavli's asking, the Husham is asking here, if you're going to say, like Rav and Shmuel, that you become a Sris retroactively, if you get two hairs when you're beyond 20 years old. So let's give him Hasroa now. Let's warn him, Yankel, you eunuch, you. If you now become a Ben Soru More, we can't kill you now. But just wait. If at 21 you get two hairs, we'll know retroactively that you were a Sris back then, and we'll kill you because retroactively. You know, after the 7 years are up, right? So let's give Hasroa something. So it must be, we don't say he becomes an adult retroactively. It must be that he only becomes an adult when he gets the two hairs. So therefore, we can't give him Hasroa, we can't warn him now, because it does no good, we can't kill him. Says the Gemara, and V'yakirbo, and here the line should be reversed. V'yakirbo toch sholosh chodoshim, give him Hasroa within those 3 months, shema yovi shtei saros, after he's 20 years old, maybe he'll bring two hairs. So says the Gemara, you know, theoretically you're right, but this is going to command Omar, and Mikavim Hasroa l'sofik. It's going to appear that there's no warning in the sofik. You only warn if it's a vi hasra suffik lav shma hasra. Yeah. The warning in case of suffik we don't give.
And there's no warning for something that'll happen in the future.
Yeah.
As well.
If we said hasra suffik shma hasra, we would give warning on future. It's only because we say hasra suffik lav shma hasra. Okay, that's part and parcel of this principle. Okay, masisa pliga reshmo. The Mishnah, this following verse argues, it seems to argue in Shmuel. It says, Echad ben teisha v'shonim yom echad, whether kid's 9 years old, Ve'achod ben esrim shana, our kids 20 years old, I'm skipping the parentheses. Ve'achod ben esrim shana, our kids 20 years old, shalev ishtei saras, he doesn't have two hairs, so I say he's a child. Kemad etemar, just like you say, ben teshu shani ben mechad, like a child between 9 years old, and ad ben, it should be shalosh ishtei ben mechad, until he's 13 years old, shehev ishtei saras, when he brings hair during that period, it should be mikan veheilach unaseish. Well, anytime he brings the hairs, he becomes an adult from here on in, now retroactively. The kavasa, so too we should say, ben esrim shana, shaloiv ishtei saras. If he's 20 years old, he doesn't have two hairs, mikan veheilach unaseish. He becomes a man only from here on in, not retroactively, right? So that's the case. This Bryce seems to be against Shmuel, because Shmuel says you become an adult retroactively. How does he reconcile that? So Ma'avel Shmuel. So what does Shmuel say? He says Pasalah Misusamuch Lesrim Shana, when he's within, very adjacent to his 20th year. Now the way the Mepharshim explained that is that when you become 20 in Halacha. When he's 19. So until you're 19, however, until you're 19 years and 30 days old, you're not going to be truly 19 yet. So since you're not going to be truly 19 until that time, so therefore, until that time, you can become, you become an adult from here on in. After you hit 21, after you hit 20 and 30 days, then you become, and then you get two hairs, you become an adult retroactively. Is that clear? That's a Shmuel answer. Until you're 19 years and 30 days old, from till then, any, whenever you get your two hairs, you're an adult from that time on. Once you become 20 years old and you get your two hairs, I said retroactively you were a eunuch, meaning you were an adult from the time you were 13. Okay, and from here on in, from there on until now, you were a eunuch, and now you're okay. Okay? Now, since that's the case, so it's the Braisa which brought that, we brought down as a Ragged Shmuel, because it says there that from the time you're ready, from the time that you're, only from the time, from when do you start to,
time of 20, but it's not specific.
What? Right, since the time of 20, until the time you're 20, it's not retroactive. So it sounds like Shmuel, because Shmuel says the moment you become... Yeah, okay, I got it. The Brysism sounds like up to, until, and including the time you're 20, so you become an adult only from when you see the two hairs, right? Kol Shmuel, the moment you're 20, you become an adult retroactively from wherever you see the two hairs, from your bar mitzvah retroactively. So how does Shmuel deal with the Braisa? So the answer is that Shmuel will say the Braisa is talking about, Shmuel will say that the cutoff point according to him is 19 years and 30 days. In other words, up to that time, whenever you see Simon in the two hairs, you become an adult from that point on. If it's after the 20 years are up, meaning, according to Shmuel, after 19 years and 30 days, then when you see the Simon, you become an adult retroactively. Okay? That's it. Says Mishnah further. No per. No simal anusa. This is a very interesting parak. You get mad, you have a woman who you raped. Vamafuta, you seduced. Can you marry her sister or her mother? The answer is yes. Because you only raped or seduced her, right? However, let's say you're married and then you raped or seduced the forbidden relation of your wife, so then chayev, then already you transgressed the prohibition and whatever it says in the Torah is going to be for you. A person can marry a girl who was raped by his father, futasav, seduced by his father. Anusas, but no person can marry a girl who was raped by his son, or mefutas, but no, seduced by his son. Rabbi Yehuda says that's only true about your son, but not about your father. You can't marry a girl who was raped or seduced by her father. Okay? Says Gemara. Kinimas Nisan. This is the way to read the Mishnah. Benosim achar anusa. Benosim echar anusa ve'echar mafuta. I'm sorry. Benosim achar anusa ve'echar mafuta. You're allowed to get married to the sister or to the mother-in-law after, well, not the mother-in-law, to the mother of the girl. You're allowed to get married to the mother of a girl with whom you had relations if it was only ones or pitui, if it was only rape or seduction. Anasisha muter b'ima. If you raped a woman, you're allowed to marry your mother. Pita Yisha, you seduced a woman, Mutzer Pita, you're allowed to marry your daughter. Ha'onas v'mpata nasua chayav, however, if the first relationship, the initial relationship was marriage, so then afterwards you cannot rape or seduce the relations of your married spouse. In other words, you can't rape the mother-in-law, but you can't rape the daughter. Well, you have to, if that's the case, you get, I believe it's kares, the punishment.
So this is just repeating what we have.
And it's burning. What?
This is just repeating what we have in Mishnah.
Well, it's not just repeating, because the Ritbaz points out that the Mishnah speaks about ow, right? It says upon. And upon, it sounds like upon is a difficult concept. What does it mean, upon, right? So we actually change it to achar, right? It means in chronologically. Rabbi Yochanan said, derech nisuin shonu. Rabbi Yochanan says that it's got to be that there was initially a nisuin to the person in question. In other words, not just kiddushin, right? It sounds like it has to actually be nisuin to the first person, then the second person is also, and now it's just kiddushin, okay? Nasa Ishar Chakach Anas Nisima, and only therefore if you did Nisuin to the first woman, and then have relations with her mother, you're Chayav. Nasa Ishar Yad Nisuin to the first woman, Vachar Pito, and then it's Pito, and then you seduce the daughter, you're Chayav. Period. Tamatinia, now we have a parallel story, an interesting case. Tamatinia, you shachtav as Bas Pito, you slaughtered, not a human being, but an animal, and its granddaughter, okay? Vacharashah is beaten, then slaughtered its mother, the daughter, right? So of his upbringing, you get 40 malchus. What transgression did you transgress? Also vesmino. Sumo somar mishir mesu said name remir. So of ikshmoni, we get 80 lashes. Okay? Why is that? Because there are two maiseyser, right? The mother and the daughter, and the mother and the granddaughter are two separate yisurim.
Does it matter the chronology, which you did first? If you did
what?
If you get the grandchild first,
yeah.
There's no Yisur also with Espinal, because it's also...
No, same thing. No, it's the same thing.
Same thing, even in one generation.
Yeah.
So then what's the Machlokas? It should automatically be two Yisur.
Well, the question whether it's two Shemos or one Shame. Was what I say, also Espinal is just one grand... thing, and therefore no matter who it was, I translate another word to transgress. Yeah. What if I transgress?
If you do one, you can do ten.
If I did, no, everybody agrees, if I to slaughter two mothers and two daughters, b'bas achas, or b'hele machas, I only get, it's amazing, I only get one set of malchus, right? It's only if I did a daughter and then did a granddaughter, that it's a machlokas, because it's not just also ves beno, but it's also ves bas beno. Okay? So that's the question. So it says, Amrei lezet sumchus reim yochum ben nuri, shteim armu dar brachu. They both said one, the same thing. So it's the answer, we went over there, Rabbi Yochum ben nuri omer, Rabbi Yochum ben nuri says, habal chamosam, somebody has relations with his mother-in-law, Chayev Oleh, he is Chayev upon her Mishum Chamoso, because of his mother-in-law. And if he then has relations with his grandmother-in-law, ve'em chamoso, chaygos ve'em with his grandmother-in-law, ve'em chamik. And if he then has relations with his father-in-law's mother, the relations also, then his chayv as well. So then the rabbis argue, they said, shloshlim shem echonim. They're all in-laws prohibitions, so therefore you only get one malchus or one penalty for all three. Okay? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda ben Pazio, B'shem Rabbi Yochanan said, Modes Sumchus Bereishoina. Sumchus agrees that if you, in the case brought down the Reish there, which is similar to what I said before, if you had one mother and two sons, a daughter and a granddaughter, so then it's possible to say that it's two separate
generations.
That's a good word. Very good word. Two separate generations. But when it's the same generation, it's just lateral, so then even Sumchus agrees there's only one set of floggings, right? Says the more Ashmik Tani, that was his premise, even positive premise, but then he reneged because Ashmik Tani Odi Machlokas. Because you learn that Sumchus even says multiple members of the same generation also generate additional Machlokas. Okay? My time at Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. What's the logic of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, who says that all in-laws are considered to be similar, right? Or all those who are similar to be in the same category are all considered to be lumped together. So it says the Gemara, Ma isho bito bas bito. He learns that from the Torah itself. The Torah itself says a woman and her daughter and her granddaughter, and also it says in the Pasuk, though it's not brother Andrew, bas bino, her granddaughter by her son, her granddaughter by his daughter. Bishnei lavin are two separate lavin. Afi sho bas bino u bas bito. So to any time you have a woman and her granddaughter or her by her son or her daughter, so then you have Bishnei lavin, two lavin. There wasn't two lavin here. What do you mean by two lavin? So here, brother, Karmel Eder brings down the pasuk, a very important pasuk. It's in the Karmel Eder in the wide line, starting from the first line, then wide line down. 8 or 9 lines down. I lost count. Then there's the two dots right after the first word in the line, and right after that. Mai shabito bas bito b'shnei lavin. It's the two separate lavin. You'll see, ervas isha ubita. The erva of a woman and her daughter, lo sigale, do not reveal. Full stop, espas benov espas bito lo sikach. Do not take her granddaughter either by son or by her daughter. So look, the pasuk divided in two, right? It wasn't necessary, but the pasuk could just said all these relations are forbidden. But it separates this pasuk says, a daughter separate from granddaughters. You see that? Evas yishol bita lo sigale, comma, espas benov, espas bita lo sikach, right? So woman and daughter is one lav, and granddaughters are a separate lav, right? That's what the Gemara says here. Back to where Maita de Yechner, Ma yishol bita bas bita b'shnei lav, it's two separate prohibitions of the Torah. Av yishol bas bina u bas bita, so to a woman and her granddaughters, bas bino, bas bita, on either side, and the Shai Torah itself throws in also bita, bishnei lavin. They're also in two lavin. So in other words, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says that every time you have a case where it's generations either down, which is actually explicit in the Torah, because it says daughter and then granddaughter separately, or generations up, and that's Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri's extrapolation. Mothers-in-law and grandmothers-in-law, they're two separate prohibitions. Just like they're divided into, so to all the prohibitions are divided into. Says, well, no, matam the rabbanu, what's the logic of rabbanu argue? They say, ma bas b'no bas b'to b'lav echad. We put the bas b'no bas b'to in one category, right? The Torah itself puts them in one category. It says mother and daughter, and then it says granddaughter by sons and granddaughters by daughters, right? So why is it lumped them together, right? So ma bas b'no bas b'to b'lav echad, they're one lump sum. Af isha, so to woman It should be ubito, bas bito, bas bino, a woman and her daughter and her grandchildren, b'lav echer, also one life. Now this is funny because obviously the pasuk is not clear how to darshan, but each darshan of the pasuk has their own advantage. I guess they had mesoiris and then they looked at the pasukim afterwards. Ksiv, it says, v'isha sheikach es isha, v'esimo zimohi. It says if a man takes a woman and her mother, it's considered to be a licentious act. B'kulun ksiv shchiva. By all the forbidden relationships, it says you're not allowed to lie. B'kak ksiv l'kicha. Here it says you're not allowed to take. Why is that? V'amecha teaches lo'olam einim eschayev el'ashniya. He's not chayev on the second one. Achetei ashniya rishoyin azkukalo. Unless the first one had some sort of binding relationship, which is sort of what we said. In other words, if you have relations, you rape a mother and a daughter, or rape a mother and a granddaughter, or rape a mother and a grandmother. So you're a rotten fink, stinking person, lousy Russia. But we can't put you to death for that. The only thing I put you to death for it is if the first set was married, right? In other words, you were married to the woman. And then he had relations with her mother-in-law. You're married to the woman, and then relations with the daughter-in-law, or the daughter, okay? Stepdaughter is what I meant to say. So in all these cases, we have a case where you're chayv, but you need first to have a rishon school, because it's got to bounce off a marriage. It can't just be double rape or double seduction. Says Marina Ladechni, so maybe you need not just kiddushin, but you also need nisuin, right? In other words, now here, what does he mean by that? So he says, perhaps the first that you have to have full nisuin to the daughter in order to be chayav on her mother or on her daughter. So we already said she'en kiddushin ba'arayas. We already said that there's no kiddushin ba'arayas. So what does it mean there's no kiddushin ba'arayas? I forgot. One second. No, I'm going to learn like the carbonator. I see I made a mistake. Let's we're going back a line. Says Oeno Delch Nisuin, half a line. Perhaps also the second one has to be married in order to transgress. In other words, just like the first one. In other words, the mother, you have to be married to the daughter in order to transgress on the mother. Or be married to the mother in order to transgress on the daughter. But we said that as long as the first relationship is a marriage, the second one you transgress even if it's a seduction or a rape. How do we know that? Maybe you have to be married the second one in order to be chayev. Just like the first one has to be married to you in order to provoke or put the iser in place, so to, in order to transgress, the second one you take also perhaps has to be via a marriage. You see what I'm saying?
But they're related anyway. What do you mean by via marriage?
No, you're not chayev on raping or seducing your wife's mother or your wife's daughter unless you... Not don't you attempt to marry her as well?
Yeah, why would you? I mean, how you? So that's where the answer is.
No, it's exactly Mora's answer. Mora says that would be ludicrous because no kiddushin by a rice, right? Everybody's difficulty with this line because isn't that obvious? The question. So the Rabbaz changes the whole question, but he does it makes it very, very strange. So and it's like by my kiddushin by a rice. Says Mora, wait a minute, it's not so cockamamie though. Doesn't say there must be this mission because it says do not take your father's wife. What do you mean do not take your father's wife? Do not lie with your father's wife. Take your father's wife. Of course you can't take her, right? She's married to your father, right? Even if she's a widow, there's no kiddushin. So we see here that perhaps one can construe that there is a problem of kiddushin, even by rias, even though it's a meaningless gesture. Perhaps the prohibition is pretending that you can marry an rias, right?
Taking here doesn't mean marrying, it means having relations.
No, but by all the one of the ones it says Shechiva. It says Isha Sher Yishkaf. So why does it say here Isha Sher Yikach? You'd be right if not, it was consistently Yikach across the board. But the other ones say Yishkaf, right? So it's my, no, they're saying to come and tell you something else. Balo diachoshu mutar bad shalom nisis lovi. There's come and tell us that before your father married her, she was permissible to you, because they're not talking about your father's wife who's your mother, but your father's wife who's your stepmother, right? Vaksi doesn't say vishu sheikach and say isha sachiv nidahu. Again, it sounds like you only chayev if you try and marry your wife's, your mother, your brother's wife. So it says, Amara, again, there it's telling you, Shayah Mutabat Shaloni Sislachim. They would have been Mutzah to her, actually not married your brother. It says more, or another Pshat, it says you're Vitanikin, but the Kormeh says it should be Vituvan. It could be another Pshat, it could be that to tell you that there's some time when you are allowed to take your mother, your brother's wife. Were you allowed to take your brother's wife? That's what it says, right? Vakshidan say, don't marry two sisters. So there it says, it sounds like the prohibition is the marriage. It says, well, no, there, baladiacha, shemuta bachlo nasasacho. So it comes to tell you that also there, it's a situational thing. Before you married the sister, you were mutter to be with the other sister. Or if it's tuvan, again, or another interpretation is that in the future might be mutter as well. Lacha misas achosav, one sister dies and you're allowed to take the other sister, she becomes mutter to you. Vaksi doesn't say, Isha Asher Yikach es achoso basovi vobasimo, a man who takes his sister, the half-sister by a father or by a mother, v'roa servoso, and sees her nakedness, v'tirea servoso, and she sees his nakedness, chesed, who, it's a chesed. So what does the Yikach mean over there? And there it's redundant. Because already said, don't take two sisters, right? So here what's it saying, again, don't, well, it's not redundant, let's take that back. What about this one? It's talking about your own sister, especially. So what about this one? It says, don't take your sister, right? Even your half-sister. Why it say Yikach over here? Should again say, just lie. So maybe you have it. This is a Gadik drosha. Shaloi toimar, it's coming to you and following drosha. Don't say, hey, Kain nasa zachoso. Kain married his sister, right? Hevel nasa zachoso. Hevel.
That's the only game in town.
That's what Gemara says. Hevel married his own sister. Says Gemara, that was different. Chesed. That was a chesed. Chesed of Sisi Marishoinim. I made a chesed with the first generation. She yibane ha'olam em in order to build a world. Since the only game in town was their own. This is now was permitted. Continue with the questions now. It says, do not take if you're a Kohen Gadol. A widow, a divorcee, a defiled woman, a prostituted woman, don't take them. So says Gemara, here we see the prohibition is taking. Says Gemara, yeah, that's something else. Bo diach, that's going to tell you, shim kitcha, shetoyfsin bo kiddushin. We know if a kohen gadol marries an amora, the kiddushin takes effect. So that's telling you that there is a case of kicha there. Okay, period. Now, new thing, not relevant to our sugya. Rabbi Chuna Shama Kulon, Rabbi Chuna, it's irrelevant to previous sugya, but only peripherally. Rabbi Chuna, way back when, in the early Perek, he learned that Shnias, remember that Shnias Arayas to Rabbanon? Like your grandmother is also to the Rabbanon. So that Shnias goes up the ladder to grandmother, great grandmother, great great grandmother, whoever's still alive, and granddaughters and so on and so forth. Rabbi Chuna Shama Kulon Min Hadin Kari. You learned it from all of the prohibitions by the Rabbanans from the prohibition Torah. It says, Ervas Isho Bita, and it says also Bas Bita. So it's like, just like there travels down the generational tree, so too by the Rabbanans, they made it travel down the generational tree as well. Okay? Zima Ligzera Shava. And the Zima for Ligzera Shava, which teaches us, Malamata Shloshadar is just like going down its three generations. Bas Bino, Bas Bita, right? Also your granddaughters. Aflamal Shloshadaros. So also your wife's dad and your granddaughters. So to on top of three generations, your wife's mother and your wife's grandmother as well, right? Says Gemara, Malamatablo dase, just like going down ladder, it's a lav. Aflamalamlo dase, so to going up the ladder, it's a lav. Malamal and derech nisuin. And just like going up the ladder, when it's talking about your mother-in-law, it's a rains. If she's your mother-in-law, you're already married to her daughter, right? So too, aflamaton, so too, when you're talking about your wife's daughter, it's when it's your wife. She's already your wife, and you have relations with her daughter. Then that's the prohibition. But I have relations with just a woman and her daughter. My mom is saying, just like going up, if you have relations with your mother-in-law, you get burnt, literally. Aflamatim is saying, if you get burnt, literally as well. Going down the ladder makes no difference if it's your granddaughter, your wife's granddaughter, through a male son, or your wife's granddaughter through a female. Aflamala, so to going up, your grandmother in your wife's grandmother, Nase Om Zachor Om Nekeva, makes no difference if it's if it's through a male or through a female line. Now, says the Gemara is going to ask now Akasha. Gemara says it's really a technical question, not really it's a technical question with the Gemara just asking in order to give the answer. It's not a significant question. Says Rameir, what about like Rameir? Rameir Gzeir Shava B'makom Shabbos. Rameir says the Gzeir Shava, you bring everything with the Gzeir Shava from the place where you're coming from, meaning Dorsh Li Shisha L'malon. So according to him, the third generation up. Minayin, how do we know Shehu Bisrefa? It says Yelosa say, but it should be according to Carbonator Bisrefa. How do we know that it's the burnt, right? Because if we're learning the third generation up from the third generation down, that's nice. But the burning actually is said by the second generation up. It doesn't say burning by the third generation down. It says you get burnt if you have relations with your wife and your mother-in-law. Right? It said, doesn't say you have get burned if you have relations with your granddaughter, right? So how do we know that in fact you get burnt if you have relations with your grandmother-in-law, right? But how do you know that? Because if you're learning it out from Gzeirah Shavah, but all the parameters get slept from the Gzeirah Shavah, and the Gzeirah Shavah never explicitly says there's burning by your wife's granddaughter. Now we know there is. It's just a technical question. Eventually we're going to come to an answer. But the question is how it's learned out, okay? So, Dorsh the Shishil Malam in 9 Chubos Refa, and they get burned. Ukrabonadin Arm Gzeirah Shavah Kamraba. Rabbanan say Gzeirah Shavah. The parameter, you just learn one thing and the other parameters remain like the place, like the initial place where the statement is made. Dorsh Lisha Shulamala, the third generation up, Minayin Shuhu, it should be below Sase. How do we know that there's even a low Sase? Because the low Sase is written by the third generation down. Now, we learn from the third generation down that the third generation up is also as well. But how do you know that the third generation up is a low tase? Maybe it's only not say. Because even the low tase is written by the third generation down. So like Mary, copy the low tase, because the low tase is written there. You copy it with the Gzeirah Shavah, travels over the same bridge. But like Rabbanan, you can't do like. You can't do that. Like Rabbanan, all you learn from the Gzeirah Shavah is one thing. And what's the one thing you learn? In this case, that you go to the third generation up, just like this third generation down. But even the low sase itself, how am I going to transfer from one to the other? That's an additional thing, which Gzeirah Shavah doesn't do. Basically, according to Meir, Gzeirah Shavah is a bridge. According to Rabbanan, it's just one thing is copy. How do I know that the other things are copies? And vice versa. Ukrabana Dina Rami Gzeirah Shavah, I just said, Bankrabana, Dorsh the Shishlamana, third generation up, your wife's grandmother. Shehi Basrefa, that it gets burnt, how are you gonna learn it? The Srefa doesn't even say by third generation down, it says it by your mother-in-law. And you can't extrapolate from the mother-in-law to the grandmother-in-law. You can extrapolate from the third generation down to the third generation up. But then I lose the low sase and I lose the Srefa. Right? But I don't even know, well, then it's losase, according to Rabbanan. But in any event, the Srefa is written by the mother-in-law. How do I get Srefa from the mother-in-law to the grandmother-in-law? or have to first go from the mother-in-law to the daughter-in-law and back up again? It's a tremendous mess. How is it going to work out? So again, all these questions just lead to the punchline. Became the chsiv zimo zimo l'gzeir shava k'misha kulun kain the kulun kain. Says zimo zimo all over this place. But all these places, but all these bad religions says zimo 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 licentious licentious licentious. So that's a super gzeir shava. If the word is repeated that many times, it means that all the parameters are exactly the same. It means travels up third generation, travels down three generations, and just like one is a lo saseh, the other is a lo saseh, and just like one is treifa, the other is treifa, and that is enough for tonight.